Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
With less than 50 days to go for the AFC Asian Cup, the Indian team flung their last test at Jordan. Or did they? To discuss this with me, we have Debayan from ESPN.
Yeah.
And we are sitting here in a barista in Bangalore, so you might have some ambient noises on the side.
And some traffic as
well. To speak about India's 2-1 defeat at Jordan. So, Debayan, let's get straight into it. What did you think of the match?
I think two aspects to it. One, obviously, the circumstances under which the match was held, but I think we should completely keep that out of the equation. Aside from that, if you were to look at just the performance, decent in parts. The second half was good, but on the whole, it's a little worrying ahead of the Asian Cup. I don't think the Indian team is quite there yet.
So, we always knew that it was always going to be an uphill struggle against Jordan in the Asian Cup. So, considering the kind of character that we have shown, especially against China, now against Jordan, what kind of performance do you expect and how happy are you that this is something that we expected, but how good are they at doing now?
See, just reflecting over the last, say, 2 years of India's performances, yes, there's been a lot of positivity around India's climb up the rankings. They have had a decent record, especially 2017 was quite good. But one must always keep in context the kind of opposition that we played and the fact that we played a lot of matches at home. So if you take those two equations out of the way, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we have won since we beat Myanmar away in one of the qualifiers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not been easy sailing for the Indian team. And that's where their deficiencies will be caught out by some better teams at the Asian Cup. It's on foreign soil. It'll be alien to the Indians. There'll be little stadiums which will be packed. Playing the host doesn't help because UAE will obviously get the majority of the backing in that particular match. And even Thailand and Bahrain are very good teams. So, yeah, things are looking pretty grim at the moment. And what also must be remembered is that across these 2 months or 2 years or so, a lot has depended on Sunil Chhetri. And we saw that when he wasn't there, the team looked a little short in terms of leadership in the match against Jordan. So, those are the key points which I picked out. And, I mean, of course, they will work on it. But let's see where how much deficiency they can overcome.
Yeah, you mentioned Sunil, of course. Apart from whatever he brings on the field, his character, all that is as a captain and leader, all that thing is also very important for the national team especially because he's always pulled a rabbit out of the hat quite a few times. So, do you think if you go beyond, we have a great starting keeper who we'll talk about sometime soon, two centre backs that have been there for a long time, and us obviously did not get too much playing time coming into the match.
Correct.
And then there is always Chhetri and you have JJ. But do you think there is a lack of quality beyond the first level? Because although Constantine has chopped and changed a lot, we know kind of his, the core of his team.
Yes, possibly. And I think it's a vicious cycle because in a lot of senses, we don't really know the second best 11 because there's been a lot of chopping and changing. And I'm not sure I can blame Constantine completely for that. It's also down to the quality of players that he has at his disposal. And we know that he has, he has handed out a lot of caps. He has handed out a lot of debuts, but his hand has been forced in a way because not a lot of those players have been able to cement their places in the limited chances they were given. And it's also down to the fact that India has traditionally not played a lot of international matches. So if they had exploited every international window, played more games, played more quality teams, maybe we would have found out a bit more about the character of some of those fringe players, so to speak. But yes, they have stuck to the same nucleus of the side for the last 3 or 4 years. And a lot of those players have been the same. The good thing is, in the positions you mentioned, there is probably some depth. So there are players who can still step up. But yes, I mean, there's only so many players that you can take to a squad. It's going to be an interesting one because I think, 22 or 23 players that you can take alongside you. It's going to be an interesting selection, especially for those key positions like, the strike zone or the midfield. Those are the positions which I'm a little concerned about.
You touched on this. 47 debuts is the number of debuts he's driven out in the second string that Constantine had. So, in before Constantine, we had a stretch where there were two, three coaches, Wim Kouwermans being the last. There, India was kind of dormant for. They didn't really play a lot of matches. They played Nehru Cup and few things here and there. So, do you think there was a in that transition period where it should few players should have come up? They didn't really get the time and the space or the opportunities to do that. So we are paying kind of a surprise for that, in a manner of speaking.
I suppose so. Also, what happened, I guess, was post Bob Houghton, there was a period of transition as well in Indian football where there were a lot of senior players who had just maybe finished up with their careers and they were just getting out of the system. So it needed a little bit of an overhaul, and there weren't too many players who survived from that era. I mean, maybe the only two which come to mind are JJ and Chhetri. Otherwise, the entire defense, most of them were quite senior players. They went out, the midfielders went out of the way. Subrata Paul is still another player who's still around, but yeah, he's no longer probably in the first 11 or so. Yes, we did lose a little bit of time, and a lot of it had to do with the fact that India didn't do very well in the World Cup qualifiers either. Had they maybe, or had the qualifiers been similar to what they were for 2018, maybe there would have been more avenues for the Indians to play. They lost out on valuable match time. Maybe to an extent, even the federation needs to cop a little bit of the blame because they didn't really have a clear roadmap about what to do post Houghton. There was a little bit of confusion over what style of play they wanted to incorporate. There was Rob Baan who had come in as the technical director. There was a big, talk about the Dutch style of playing and everything. And I mean,
And they brought
honestly,
in Callum Tolle.
and that's when that's where Kouwermans came in as well as a Dutchman. But I've never been a big believer in, adopting styles of play from different countries. You've always got to look at your own physiology, your own strengths, and you've got to play to that. Yes, you need a coach with experience who comes maybe from abroad, maybe from India. It really doesn't matter. But that coach then has to play to those strengths and adapt his style. It shouldn't be the other way around. I mean, a coach shouldn't go with a preset notion that, no, I'll make all of them play possession football and overnight turn into
This is
basketball
not club
because
football, this is
exactly
international
that
football.
won't happen. So. That's probably where I think India lost out maybe a couple of years, and to an extent when Constantine came in, he had to, I mean, to be fair to him, he had to deal with that to begin with when India were looking to qualify for the 2018 World Cup. The first couple of years were quite disappointing in terms of results.
So, coming to this match specifically, 2-1 loss, a howler from Gurpreet, and another goal in the second half, but response was good. Nishu came off the bench and scored on his debut. So, what do you make of the overall situation that we are in? At least we are reacting well to adversities.
Yeah, I mean, if I compare it to, say, when I started covering football and seeing India play, there used to be a little bit of anxiety when India played any bigger nation. I mean, forget about Japan and Saudi Arabia or Korea, there was no hope of competing. But even if they came up against a team which was slightly better, the first thought was that, yeah, let's not lose by a big margin. But at least what has happened over the last 3 or 4 years, and maybe specifically in the last couple of years, is that they have a little bit more self-belief. They know that they can compete with any team. And we saw glimpses of that in the Jordan game.
Oman and Iran also previously they had a good
Exactly.
show.
Exactly. In the second half in particular, they passed around the ball quite nicely. They had some decent passages of play. We know that, the strikers rather were on a different flight. They didn't reach or whatever, all that confusion. So they effectively started with almost a 4-6-0.
I know. Anyways, they put 4-5-1, but then I saw they were like everyone was sitting
Yeah,
there.
because Anirudh Thapa was playing as a
That is,
striker, which is not really his, his
strong
first choice.
suit,
Yes. So, given all of that, given all those limitations in the second half, some positive changes, maybe Ashik coming on and then Sumit Passi coming on, just gave them a little bit more of an outlet. Nishu Kumar's goal was a good one. And yeah, I mean, it held out some promise because if you look at overall how they performed, they didn't lose their defensive shape for long periods. I mean, Jordan really didn't have a very big clear-cut chance, barring maybe one or two in the first half. The goal really shouldn't have happened. It was a little embarrassing from Gurpreet, but I think I tweeted as well. I think his initial mistake was taking that free
I
kick.
know. I wanted to touch on that, but after you finish it, because this is a pet peeve I have. And I've copped a lot of hate on Twitter for saying some of the things I've said against Gurpreet, who I admit is probably the best shot stopper in India. But he does have two tendencies. One is to make the odd howler, like the My friend has conceded a goal like that in college. You know? This is a rookie mistake. He's 6'4". He should have dealt with it. He's an international level keeper. And second one, this is not the first time. The team in Tajikistan, when he was playing for Bengaluru, he conceded two goals here in the AFC knockout, which just went in his near post, kind of his mistake. Then against Goa last year, he got the red card when he did something against the player or something.
Yeah, yeah.
A little immaturity in that sense. But still a great shot stopper and a goalkeeper on his day, like we saw in China. So do you think this is a worry? And also his distribution. He plays for a team, a club team, which bases its philosophy on position. And he goes for long kicks almost all the time.
Yeah.
And most of the time he misses that. One or two times he gets it.
Yeah.
Maybe they might be able to do it something. But when you are a position team, I think the thing is to pass it.
Yeah.
So, do you think there is something?
I think, in fairness to him, I think his distribution overall is quite good. I mean, we have seen in the past, both for BFC as well as for India, where goals have been initiated from his kicks. And even here, probably the mistake was that he actually connected that free kick a bit too well, because it went right straight to the goalkeeper, and it gave him less time. I mean,
maybe he wanted to prove that I can do the same.
Yeah, we should credit the you know, Jordanian goalkeeper, because he saw that opportunity, and I'm sure he actually planned to do what he did. I mean, maybe he wanted to get somebody at the end of it, but then he went straight on the bounce right into goal.
Yeah.
So it was a good bit of planning, and it gave Gurpreet less time, because he had to jog back from his position. He was a little outside his box, and he had to, like, you know, run back.
Yeah,
it's always difficult, because you lose your sense of positioning when you're outside your own penalty box. So in that sense, I won't cop the blame so much on him. But yeah, I mean, he does tend to have some worrying moments. But I think there is that streak of madness in every goalkeeper. So you've got to forgive any keeper for that. Yeah. I think overall what he has improved on significantly is that he seems to be commanding his defense a lot better than he used to. We saw it in this game as well, a couple of times when Jordan had free kicks. The way that he organized his ball was perfect. He knew where his position would be. He knew where he wanted his men to be, you know, defending that, how many players. So those are the basic things that you look for from a goalkeeper. And I mean, eventually, it's also a confidence game. Let's not forget, he also saved a penalty in that same match.
Absolutely.
So, on the whole, a mixed performance, but only because of that error. Otherwise, he was quite good.
And always, I think, to be fair, the positives outweighs the negative.
Yeah.
And he, the way he, I think we got the draw in China purely because of Gurpreet.
And the woodwork.
And they did quite a few saves as well.
12th man for
12th man, yeah. And then now we come to Mr. Nishu Kumar.
Yes.
Scored on his debut. Yes. There were some questions about why he was picked ahead of certain players, but let's leave that aside for the time being. When given a chance, he has delivered properly. So Nishu was an interesting thing, and I have, again, a small pet peeve that I have. His positioning is
You're full of pet peeves.
Yeah, absolutely. I have full of pet peeves. So I have a problem with his positioning.
Okay.
When he's defending, you know, he's always square.
Yeah.
He doesn't stand in the right place.
Yeah.
I think in the Blasters game in the 86th minute, Chitri ran back to track one runner and cleared the ball and absolutely laid into him. You could see it on the screen. I think with his injury, he was probably a little bit more pissed out than normal. So he is, as an athlete, he's phenomenal. He's strong, he's fast, he's a good footballer as well. So I have always been one of those people who said he should play midfield. Do you think this goal, because he came on the right midfield wing back area, ahead, he had someone, Kotal, sitting behind him.
Yeah.
So kind of gave him a freedom to go, and he's a phenomenal athlete.
Yeah, and he's been scoring goals for BFC, so that's a positive. And I think whenever he plays for BFC, I think he's at his most effective, or he used to be at his most effective, when Roka used to play the back three and he would be playing as a slightly
wing
advanced
back,
wing back position. I don't think defending is his strongest suit at all. And yes, looking forward, I mean, if you look at the Indian team composition, there are a lot of left backs.
Four of them on the field the other day.
It's an embarrassment of riches.
Very left-sided nation we are.
Exactly. Well, I'm not so sure on social media, but yes. In any case, with the number of left backs that you have, maybe it could be a good idea to try him out in a more advanced position. But then again, you've got to look at the overall team balance. Does it take away a position of a more deserving player inside midfield or so?
Talking about, this is probably the last window before the Asian Cup.
Yeah.
We might play a couple matches just before the tournament starts, but do you think this is the last time for us to try out certain players? Because one of the things we have a problem is scoring goals. And you had players like Susai Raj, who's on great form, who's not played for the national team. Rowling, to be fair, is back in the national mix, but didn't really get a chance because I personally felt during the qualification phase, he was our best midfielder alongside Eugene.
Yeah.
Unfortunate injury took it out, but he's on his way back. He scored a few goals for the club, Northeast United FC.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we kind of missed out on the last chance to give, you know, change, especially with the fact that Chetri wasn't there? Maybe you could have had, they've called in Komal Tattal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could have called Susai Raj, who's in among goals, who's been the best player in I-League last year. And stuff like that. Maybe we missed out on a chance there.
Yeah, maybe. You know, we were having this debate internally as well at ESPN that should Susai Raj have been called up. I personally think it's still a bit early. I mean, he's obviously good, he's creative, and he's got all the right ingredients. But let's give him a little bit more time to establish himself. He's had one good I-League season and he started this ISL really well. So maybe give him a bit more time to, you know, show that he is able to deliver on a consistent basis. He's definitely got the makings of a future India player. But on the flip side, yes, I mean, if you look at the current crop, what they are probably lacking is that bit of creativity in the midfield. And I think somewhere along the line, Constantine has to make up his mind about what his best middle of the park is and what kind of formation he plays. I personally think, I mean, it's often been portrayed as 4-4-2, but I think what he likes to play in his own mind is more like a 4-3-3, or maybe one could call it a 4-1-4-1.
Yeah.
Where, say, JJ plays as the top of the head, and you have Chetri and Udanta on two sides, and you have a couple of good, you know, attacking midfielders alongside him, and you have somebody like Rowland Borges just hanging back, or maybe a Pranay Haldar. But that's where we have lacked in the last year in particular, especially since Eugen Sunling-Do's injuries. They haven't really had that kind of dominance in midfield. A lot of the games, of course, they were won against really bad sides, so one shouldn't really count those.
Yeah.
But when you're up against superior opposition, what we have seen is that the opposition takes complete control of the midfield.
Do you think we let them also, to an extent? Yeah, you take the control, we'll just sit back and then try and hit on the break.
Yeah, and I'll add one more point to that I don't think midfield domination is the be-all and all of football. I mean, there are many variables in a game that one can control, and I mean, if you don't get the ball for long periods, there's not much you can do about it. In those situations, what you need is better defensive organization. You know, you need your forwards and your midfielders to also track back and just make sure that you get some good numbers behind the ball when you're defending. And you need some kind of, you know, X factor, which comes through somebody like a Chetri, which they missed against Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the kind of player, you know, we still remember that goal that he scored against the Kyrgyz Republic.
Yeah, that's a great goal.
So that's what, I mean, sometimes things can come out of nowhere. And that's where you need to keep, you know, you need to have that ability to take games deep. And that's probably been the biggest strength of this Indian team over the last couple of years, that even when they are under pressure, even when they are conceding possession, conceding chances, they have that ability to come late in the match and score goals and, you know, make something out of it.
Yes.
So that will be crucial going into UAE, that if they can hold out for long periods, you know, a team like Thailand will probably run at you, will be faster than you, they'll be a little bit more skillful in the final third. But if you can keep it nil-nil till about 60-65 minutes and then throw some men forward and you have that energy to do so, then things can happen.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
You mentioned Constantine in his own mind wants to play a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of Constantine's tactical approach? Because pet peeve number three.
Go on.
I have a problem with your centre backs getting position, not under pressure, and then just walloping the ball aimlessly forward.
Yeah.
And doing this against a big team, I understand. You want to clear the ball, maybe you don't want them to, you know, win it too close to your box.
Yeah.
It's probably a good idea. But then I remember speaking to Constantine after the Guam game here in Bangalore, and they were hitting aimlessly for a long time. I think we won that game 1-0,
yeah,
maybe
2-0. Robin Singh, I think, scored a goal or something. Yeah.
Yeah, blast from the past. Huh?
Yeah.
And so I asked him about this, and he said, it's not my tactic. I did not tell them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the next question will be, so tell them not to do it as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
So but do you think maybe it's that mentality just to get the ball and then, I'm a little worried now, and smash it?
Yeah.
Because we know that is the way you've been coached when you were young, even I was coached.
Yeah,
the first thing I was told is like clear the ball
if you're a defender. Yeah. And again, let's keep in perspective that he's worked with a very young team for large parts of it. So a lot of them have just started out in international football across the last 2 or 3 years. There is a little bit of inexperience. There is that tendency to get the ball up high. But then you've also got, you've had the kind of players who can take advantage of it. I mean, not just say a Robin Singh, but even a JJ. He's excellent at holding the ball up. Even a Chhetri.
His spring is great. Chhetri jumps very high.
He's not very big built, but if you get a, you know, decent enough high ball to him, he's able to use his body strength and his intelligence to just make something out of it. Even get it to bounce and maybe just turn his marker. So it's not a bad tactic as such, but yeah, I mean, if you become predictable with it, then it robs your team of, you know, having the ability to control possession and take control of the game. So that's something that could be looked at. But again, against Jordan also, we saw, you know, the Jordan players were on an average much taller than the Indian players. So aerial battles are never aerial battles are never a good idea. And when your midfield is maybe, you know, Vineet Rai and Jarmanpreet and Anirudh Thapa, you don't stand a chance.
So
you're better off not trying to play that. You're better off just using a bit more of pace, a bit more of individual skills, and I mean, working as a team. You know, moving forward as a team, coming back as a team. So that's probably
choreographed the right attacks and defense. So I think that's about it for the national team. So let's just touch on ISL. We've been on a break for the international thing. I-League is going on, surprisingly. I thought they would also get a break. Because even the Super Division has a one week break over here for the international.
So I-League doesn't count.
You shouldn't say that. I mean, obviously, something that I again wanted to ask you, and this is a little off topic. Do you think I-League players are a little, you know, shortchanged maybe? Because
of course.
No, not in terms of any monetary or any social media presence. In terms of someone who's trying to make a break into the national team, because you mentioned a few players, like Sosai Raj, who played an entire season in Chennai. And we've had...
Salam Ranjan,
So, you know, there are... Someone like Komal Tatel, who got in after 2-3 matches for ATK. Sumit Pasi, I don't think, played many games before he came here. So, do you think they're shortchanged in that sense, that maybe they're not really being looked at as a possible international player?
I wouldn't think so, because if you look at Constantine's track record over the last couple of years, he has picked I-League players, even when there have been concurrent leagues. So, I don't think he himself perceives that there's any difference between the two leagues. But obviously the ISL is a lot more publicized, it's a lot more in your face. I mean, if you switch on the channel, even now there's that, like, you know, haunting piano theme playing every every ad break, and it's not even on. And
haunting, nice.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know when the next I-League game is. I think there's one today, no?
Not really sure. Yesterday?
I think there was one yesterday.
My team won, so
But yeah, I mean, that's how, you know, badly advertised the I-League is. That we are never sure, you know, when the games are. So
we have to go to Twitter to find out.
So in that sense, it's been, you can also get it on ESPN.in.
Oh, yes.
Good plug. You get all your scores there.
You can check in Times of India website also.
Touché. So, I mean, I don't think they fall under the radar from the coach itself. But yes, in the eyes of the general football watching public, they are definitely much more low profile than the ISL players. So that's unfair, because at the end of the day, the I-League is the one which is the officially recognized. You know, the ISL is technically still a knockout cup according to AFC. So
Again, that's a pet peeve. Let's not go there. I mean, you cannot end the league season with a cup final.
We could go with a two-hour discussion on that.
So let's stick into the smaller format of the discussion. Alfaro has moved on loan to ATK from Pune. First of all, how can they do this before, when it's not the transfer season, or is loan exempt from being in the transfer season? I don't know, so I'm asking you.
I wish I knew. The ISL works in funny ways.
And the second one is...
That I can't help you with much.
We will have an answer for you by the next episode for sure.
Yeah.
And then the second one is, how smart is it from Pune's height to give... I know they have Hume coming in, they have Robin Singh, maybe now it's an opportunity for him as well. How smart is it from their side to let go of one of their best attacking players? Admittedly, didn't have a great season so far.
I think it's a sign of some kind of trouble brewing at Pune. I mean, for one thing, they're really playing poorly. At the start of the season, I had pegged them down as one of the potential semi-finalists, but I can't see that happening the way they played. And it's not that they've played poorly, they've actually created a lot of chances, but
they missed a lot of penalties and all stuff like that.
But it's just been really bad defending as well. And Alfaro has been the one missing the penalties mostly. I wonder if ATK are taking him for that expertise, but no, I mean, jokes aside, he's a quality player. He adds a lot of value to whichever team he goes to because of all that he does besides just scoring. He's also a good, you know, creator. His
quite strong.
Movements of the ball are very good. And I think ATK will benefit from this because they probably don't have as much sharpness up front as they've had in past seasons. I mean, this season is probably the first one where they don't really have that kind of ability to, you know, convert goals.
Especially now, Kaluche is injured and out, so...
Yeah, so I think it's a welcome change for them because they are still in that, you know, mid-table region where they have hopes of making the top four, and if they have a good... resurgent second half of the season, then they can get up there. For Pune, it's obviously bad news, but yeah, Hume coming back is a huge thing. He's fit, he's completely fit.
No, not yet. I think Robin will be playing for a few weeks, hopefully, because it's always nice to get, because I think Robin has all the tools to be a great striker.
Sure.
He's tall, strong, quicker than he looks,
but
all those things.
What it does is effectively takes out one combination I was looking forward to, which was maybe Hume, Marcelinho and Alfaro together. I think if three great players, three of the greatest players probably at the ISL, and playing together, all of them with individual strengths and, you know, the ability to convert goals and create chances for each other. If they could have worked together, if they could have, like, sort of quelled their egos, because obviously, you know, stars of that quality will always have a little bit of an ego, then it could have been great news for Pune. It's unfortunate, I guess, that Hume couldn't start the season fully fit. But yeah, I mean, we can't do much about it. But yeah, Hume coming back, once he becomes fit, it should be a good, interesting chemistry to see between him and Marcelinho. Because Marcelinho is the kind of player who can also, like Hume, you know, drop deep and fetch a lot of balls, create a lot of chances. So they could keep opposition defenses guessing about which one of them is actually going to play at the top of the D and, you know, bother the defense more, and the other one might just drop a little deeper. So it could make for a good combination. But yeah, I mean, I think by then their playoff hopes might go up in smoke. So maybe that could be good because there will be no pressure on them when they're playing.
I think now we are moving on to the Twitter question.
Sure.
And I say question because there's only one. From @ClyveWala, with the background of Hoobastank's reason at the back. What is the best...
Sandeep just reminded, came out when he was in school and I was already working. So you can do the maths.
Okay. Yeah, you said it, not me. So, what is the best and the worst case scenario for India at the AFC Asian Cup? That is his question. So, Devayan...
Okay, so let's start with the worst. I mean, I always believe in optimism, so we'll go to that section.
So do I.
Yeah, so the worst case scenario is they come back with three defeats and a couple of thumping defeats. Maybe UAE smashes them, and maybe Bahrain or Thailand also, you know, get in three goals or something. And maybe they come back without scoring a single goal. But I don't think that's going to happen. I would believe it's a lot more optimistic than that. The best case scenario, yes, we were just talking offline a little while ago, and I thought you said it right, that India getting out of the group. But I would go a little bit further. I would say that at least a run through to the quarterfinals would be great for Indian football. Because all said and done, you know, there has been a lot of positivity about the India's rise in the FIFA rankings, their record in recent years in internationals. And nothing would cap it off better than a good performance at the Asian Cup. Also because... barring the really involved Indian football fan, I don't think many people even understand what the Asian Cup is.
So it is the Euro of Asia.
That also isn't much, you know, help to say a, you know, fan sitting in Jabalpur or Kanpur or something. So yeah, it's practically the World Cup for Asia. So it's the biggest thing that an Indian footballer can hope for.
At
maybe
this
for
moment,
another 20 years or so.
So it's the first step to go to the national, I mean, the further higher up World Cups and all this. I mean, it's a big gap, but it's the first step.
And the fact that we haven't had a very good record in this competition off late. I mean, we've made one final back in 64, so that should tell you that the glory days of Indian football, when they used to be around, it was a big deal. But yes, I would suggest that they should not only get out of the group, but maybe sneak in a victory in that round of 16, if they can. I don't know how they'll do it. Even the first part looks very difficult, but when I look at it objectively, I think what's also in India's favour to an extent is that it's a pretty difficult group. There's not much between all of the teams. There's UAE, which is a very good team. There's Bahrain, which has been a very strong team in the past. We don't know exactly, you know, how they've been performing off late, but they'll always be good, being one of the Gulf sides. And Thailand, we've heard a lot about, you know, how good they've been in recent years. So what that suggests to me is that there won't be too many gaps between the points of the four teams in this group. So it could wind up to a situation where maybe even 4 points could be enough, maybe even 3 points could be enough, because this is a 24-team event with 16 going through to the next round. So, you know, best third finishers also have a chance. So, yeah, go India. I mean, if you can get one win early, then that just sets you up.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they play Thailand first, so if they can somehow win that match, then I think the pressure will really be on UAE for the next game, because they will know that India can afford to maybe advance even with a draw, so they can change their strategy accordingly. So, yeah, I would think that qualification to the round of 16 is going to be difficult. Let's make no bones about it, but it's not impossible. And from there on, if they can sneak one more win, then that will be great news for Indian football.
So, pulling together, that is the way we are going to do it. We'd like to thank Debayan. Thank you so much for taking time and talking to us at Injury Time. And this is me, Sandeep, who has taken over the responsibility of hosting the ISL pod from now on. And this is me signing off. Have a great week. Enjoy the game.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.